welcome everyone back to our class on
Christians in the workplace. Last week we talked about our goals in work, and what did we say the measure of success for the Christian in their work was? What was the return on investment? How many dollars did we cap that out at, or what was our average conversion quota that we came up with?
Faithfulness,
that's right, yes. It is not an amount, it is faithfulness, right? So today we're going to be talking about balance in the workplace, how we as Christians manage our time. The secular world often has competing responsibilities, and that doesn't inherently change when you become a Christian, right? So how can we manage the myriad of responsibilities that we have well? All right, start off. Can anyone in here juggle? No. Physically. John can juggle? Awesome.
I can juggle two balls.
Huh?
I can juggle two balls for a bit.
Okay. Yeah, I can do one. What about juggling responsibilities?
Yeah, John can. I don't.
God, he's a winner in every sense of the word. So have you ever had competing responsibilities? If you had a point in time where you had to be two places at once, doing two different things.
Never. Just two?
Yeah, right? Yeah, sometimes we got the bowling pins and the balls and whatever else.
So you have at least three things or more in here.
That's right, that's right. All right, so I'm going to start with a hypothetical. I'm going to lay out three competing responsibilities, and you tell me which one you would fulfill tonight. Hypothetically. All right, number one, your boss mentions a presentation today on a topic that you are well versed in that just scheduled for tomorrow morning. Presentation will not be long, but will require putting some slides together and working late tonight. Presentation is with some senior leadership, and it will give you a lot of credit for an upcoming promotion. Number two, your spouse sent you a message about a particularly difficult day they had and has asked you if you were able to pick up the kids from school, feed them, and take them to soccer practice tonight. And number two. Number three, your church is having a question and answer session with a prospective elder candidate this afternoon and evening. And the church as a whole is a bit divided on this candidate at present. Number three.
Oh my goodness.
So, which of those responsibilities?
Four, go to small group.
No, that's okay. Fall stack high.
Pretend it's a Tuesday or something.
Suck. Bring your laptop, work on the slides, call into the elder meeting while you're there.
I want you to remember that. That's going to be, we're going to get back to that later on in the lesson.
No, call a friend to help with the kids.
Stay up late.
Oh, I didn't think
stay up late, right. Just don't sleep. You know, you don't. You can pull an all-nighter, right?
I
did that in college.
The kids.
Still young at heart. Okay, so there's somehow cram it all in to some degree.
Okay.
Yeah, how can we make a choice there? Are any of those bad things?
No.
Well, they're all good things. They all could be fruitful in their situations. It's difficult, right? This is hypothetical, but we face similar situations in our day-to-day lives, right? Often our responsibilities are never really reach an end of the responsibility, right? There's always more that you can do in that area. All right, before we get into our lesson, let me pray. Lord, you uphold all systems and all life by your hand, and you do so perfectly without taxing any of your almighty power. We, Lord, often become overwhelmed with competing responsibilities. We pray that we would seek your wisdom in our desires and be faithful workers to all that you have called us to do. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, has anyone ever heard the term work-life balance? Not camping?
Why is that? That's on the
outside.
What does it mean? What does work-life balance mean?
not balance your life around your work.
Yeah, so maintain some kind of separation there.
No, you balance your life around your work.
Balance your life around your work, okay. That could be a definition.
It means to have a balance between life and work.
Yeah, between life and work. Yeah, that which is leisure and that which is work, hard.
Not letting your work overwhelm the rest of your life.
Yeah, not letting your work overwhelm or consume the rest of your life.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa, right? Yeah, not letting your life get in the way of your work, that which you have duty to do. Yeah. Does the work of Christians need to be considered through a work-life balance?
You work to live, not live to work.
Okay. This is what we're going to be tackling first as we consider balance. So, what is a calling in the context of Christianity?
Something God's laid upon your heart to do.
Yeah, something that God has laid upon your heart, has called you to do. Yeah.
He's given you skill to do.
Yeah, right? Giving you ability to do. Yeah, God will not give us something that we are not able to do.
That's not true. I mean, we see in the Bible multiple places where God takes somebody who's obviously not...
Right, yeah. When I say that, I don't mean in their own power, but that he will not ultimately enable you to do. Yeah.
Exactly.
That is an important clarification. God does not turn us into Superman and let us do whatever we want.
Exactly.
Do we, as Christians, all have identical callings?
Yes.
Ooh, okay, here we go. Yeah, well, who's, for those who, let's go with the no's first, and then you can just totally rebut them.
Yeah.
That's right. All right.
I said no.
Okay. Someone who is a little more sure in their conviction.
So, I think we all have the same overall goal, which is, you know, salvation for ourselves and for our peers, and hopefully for the whole world, but we'll see. But we all have a different calling on what we're supposed to do individually to achieve that overall goal.
There you go.
That's good.
Good job. He answered both.
Okay, yeah. Were you thinking along the same kind of rails, though?
I mean, I wasn't going to say the second part, but we all have the same overall calling. So.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, so I think it would be helpful to break our callings as Christians into two categories, primary and secondary. Primary and secondary callings. So as we think about our primary callings, let's go to Matthew 6. And can someone read verse 33? Matthew chapter 6.
Verse 33.
I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Very good. So what is the calling here?
First his kingdom.
Seek his kingdom.
Yeah, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And who is speaking this to us?
It's in red letters, so I think.
Yeah, it's in red letters. It's Matthew quoting Jesus, right? What he heard Jesus say. Jesus is speaking, and is Jesus qualifying which Christians this applies to? So if you back up and look at some of the context, he's talking about don't being anxious, so he may be talking to people warning about anxiousness, but he's not saying that this still is for every Christian, right? Every Christian's primary calling is fundamentally to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Fundamentally, as Christians, we have a single boss, Jesus, and our primary calling is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Do Christians need to balance this calling and responsibility between other responsibilities?
I think all other responsibilities should serve to this one responsibility, right?
Amen, right? So kind of fundamentally, right? At the top level of our responsibility, at this high level, there is nothing that we even could balance it with, right? What would compete with our efforts to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, right? At an intellectual level, this is clear to us. At a practical level, this is still really, really hard for us, right? Our sanctification is really learning to submit and view everything we do to this overarching calling. It's hard for me to have this calling in the forefront of everything that I do, right? I would, if I did, I would certainly, at the very least, pray a lot more, right? But it's hard. Yes.
As children of God, though, God delights in us. And I think that it can be, to somebody who is a driven person, it can become an overwhelming concern of getting obsessed about how much you delve into God's calling and how do you seek God's kingdom first. I think that it's fair to say that there has to be wisdom in choosing to balance your life so that you don't empty yourself.
Yeah.
And run out of the energy to do so.
Absolutely, right? So yeah, we're not ultimately just machine. God doesn't just call us to be machines in a factory to produce, you know, the most efficient widgets possible, right? So part of where we, I think, will ultimately see that we need balance is in secondary callings, right? And in those things that serve that first calling, as Griffin mentioned. But ultimately, and we'll get into this a little bit here, and think about why we don't need, and some of this might be semantics, but why we don't need to balance this primary calling to seek God's kingdom and righteousness. So why did we say that work-life balance was a thing? What can happen if there's a lack of work-life balance in our careers?
Well, I'd say working would take over.
Yeah, working could take over, right? Or
everything falls apart.
Yeah, everything falls apart, right?
You become overwhelmed.
Become overwhelmed, right?
Exhausted.
Yeah, a heart attack.
You could have a heart attack, right? Yeah. I think I mentioned before, my brother in his early 20s had a friend who literally had a heart attack because he was working so many hours.
In Japan, they have there's a word in their language specifically for that.
Yeah. Wow.
Working yourself to death.
Okay.
Interesting culture.
Yeah. That is scary and harsh, right? We want to protect ourselves against that, right? There's destructive amounts of work. And this might be in place because of some level of corporate compassion in corporations, or it might just be pragmatic as well, where they want to draw the best candidates to position, so they want to offer work-life balance. But that's not the case with our good, compassionate Father, though. A corporation gives money, recognition, pizza parties to balance for the work required of you, but God bakes our goodness into the work that he calls us to do, right? Going on dates with your spouse is work God calls us to do to reflect the love between the church and Christ. Playing with your kids is work God calls parents to do. Singing together in church is work God calls us to do. There's no balancing of the work of the primary calling of Christians because Christ calls us to submit our whole lives to his work, and this work is good. So in some senses, overarchingly, there's no need for a Christian to balance their primary calling from God because there is nothing of value to balance it with. Questions, comments about that?
So I think seeking, in my view, seeking God's kingdom first is that faithfulness that we talked about last week, right?
Yeah.
And that's the overall goal, and everything we do should support that.
Amen.
And so it's not really an individual task. It's just kind of the responsibility.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how I sort of see it.
Yeah, so I think it's important for us to first orient ourselves to that. But next, we will talk about, hey, all those secondary things, there's definitely balance that needs to happen there, right? Our hypothetical to open the class started there with things to consider. We face very real situations in our day-to-day lives of things that we need to prioritize. And we have to know how to do that well. So we're going to be taking the rest of the time to consider our secondary callings. So to classify those, let's read Ephesians 2, verse 10. Can someone read Ephesians 2, verse 10?
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them.
All right. Thank you. So these, we can think about these as our secondary callings, right? The good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. The work we do that shows off God's work in us. Remember Colossians 3 that we read a couple weeks ago. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Our secondary callings are that whatever you do, and they work to support our primary calling. We do our secondary callings to bring glory to God as disciples of Jesus Christ. So think, what are your secondary callings? They're the places God has called you by virtue of his commands in Scripture or his providential workings of your circumstances. Are you studying to be a lawyer? God's called you to be a student and may one day call you to be a lawyer. Are you in prison? Then that's God's calling for you now, which you can do to his glory. God's calling you to provide for your family, if you have one. And he's called you to be a member of a local church. Normal secondary callings are things like mom, church member, husband, neighbor, employee, and so forth. Consider our opening scenario. There were three separate good responsibilities. Could we do them all? That says yes. If not, you're a quitter.
You're right. I'm sticking to my guns.
But realistically, you know, probably not. So in that case, we must learn how to balance, to juggle, to prioritize, to make wise choices in our secondary calling. Our primary calling does not require balance, but our secondary callings definitely do. Our secondary callings have responsibilities which overlap, and until we learn to clone or make robotic copies of ourselves, it will not be physically possible for us to undertake all of this work simultaneously. So let's think about how we can balance our secondary strategy, or secondary callings, with a couple of strategies. So what did we say the measure of success a Christian uses in their work last week? Faithfulness, right? So this gives us a minimum standard, a floor to work from. In all our secondary callings, we are to be faithful. Though exactly what faithfulness looks like can be tricky, right? Should I work at Wawa or Sheetz? You know, what's the answer there? How can we define faithfulness? Well, one way would be not unfaithful, right? A definition of faithfulness is not unfaithfulness, not faithlessness. Often, faithlessness is easy to spot, right? If you have kids and you're not feeding them, is that being faithful? No, right? If you have neighbors and you go out of your way to avoid interacting with them in any capacity, is that being faithful? No. If you're a member of a church and you don't attend, though you are able, is that being faithful? No. So in all of our secondary callings, we should strive to be faithful and strive not to be faithless.
But faithful to the Lord and not to task.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right? And that's, yeah, exactly, right?
Something goodly isn't godly.
Yeah, yeah. So, amen.
Yeah.
right? So faithfulness is not to produce a certain amount of capital in a project that you're working on, right? You can actually fail the project and be faithful to God, which is great comfort because sometimes we try our hardest and it still doesn't work out. Amen. All right, so faithfulness is the floor, is our minimum. Faithfulness is the minimum standard as we seek to consider how to balance secondary callings. But besides working faithfully, we are to glorify God across all of our callings, right? You can kind of think of this as like spiritual synergy. Consider the three choices that we had at the beginning. Is there something that you could do in those situations to serve multiple parties? So you had the work, you had serving your wife and your kids, you had serving the church. So maybe we can see it's actually not possible to do all three of those things. There might not actually be enough hours in the day. But are there ways in which you could cross-cut your efforts and serve in multiple of those callings? You said take your laptop to soccer practice, right? Yeah. So, you know, not ideal because you're not giving your kids the 100%, you're not giving the work 100%, but maybe there's some good that you could accomplish across both of those.
Yeah, because kids are definitely fresh priority in those three things.
Was that sarcasm?
No, it's true. What do you mean is that sarcasm?
Also, in that context, right, is it really a priority that they know that you're watching them while they play soccer, or that you're maintaining the job?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that you pick them up and give your spouse the break that they need. That's what is the most important.
Yeah.
But also, you can put food in the same place.
Right, or maybe you skip the soccer practice, but you take the kids to church for the Q&A, right? So there's a way
show
to.
Show them what's really important.
What's that?
Show them what's really important.
Yeah, at least in that context, right? I mean, this is a hypothetical. We can go down any number of rabbit trails there. But this can be tricky, right? Does anyone know what the traveling salesman problem is? Yes. What's the traveling salesman problem?
It's a mathematical problem. You're supposed to hit a bunch of different places in the shortest route possible. Or they can be randomized. It's annoying.
Yeah, right? So you got a salesman, he's got to travel to a bunch of cities. What's the optimum route he takes to get all of them? So, you know, this is what Google Maps solves when you go from point A to point B. What's the fastest route? So for us, this kind of juggling and balancing can be difficult. We're temporal. We don't know the outcomes of our actions. We might make a judgment call and be wrong. But we're helped because we have one boss who works all things together for the good of his people, right? Even in our hardship and work, it is still doable because our compassionate, present God is with us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a very present help in trouble. Even in temptation, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And he invites us to draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You will never, absolutely never, be in a place where you cannot obey Jesus in the different callings he's giving you. Sometimes we see in the situation the fruits of our labors, and sometimes the fruits are our growing reliance and trust in the Lord.
So it's always optimal.
It's always yes. God has solved the traveling salesman problem with our lives. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we will break down on the route from one city to the other, but that was God's plan. That was optimum for the good in our lives.
All right.
There you go.
Well done.
All right, so two, as we seek to balance our secondary callings, consider that spiritual synergy. Third, in considering balance, know that some callings are fixed and some are not. Not all secondary callings are created equal in that sense. It may seem strange with how we typically view callings. You know, we think of callings, we think of how God called people in the Bible. What are some examples that come to mind of how God called people in the Bible?
In dreams.
Well, dreams, right?
Paul got stopped on the way to Damascus.
Yeah, Paul was blinded.
Burning bush.
Burning bush, yes. You know, those are some of like the great heavy hitter callings, right? Typically, the callings that that we have are not like that. Not all callings are kind of that eternal sense of the word calling. Some callings may only be for a season, and more often than not, our callings are really stirring of our affections and desires of our heart rather than audible voices of God or burning bushes or dreams. So what are some examples of callings that could change in our lives?
Parenting? Yeah, your children grow into adults and then you're an empty nester.
That's right, yeah. Certainly the way that parenting looks is going to change from when they're, you know, one and you're changing their diapers and they're, you know, 30 and running around working. Yeah, absolutely. That absolutely changes.
Your career.
Yeah. Your career may start in one direction. God, you know, may call you. You know, the classic example that we may think of is someone's working in industry doing something. God calls them to go be a missionary somewhere else. Right? That is absolutely a calling that God can have in our lives. It can also be less drastic than that. He can shift you from one industry to the other or from one location to the other. Yeah, that absolutely can change. You know, the house, the neighborhood that you live in, God may call you for one season to live in one place. He may reroute you, you know, maybe based on job or family responsibilities or what have you to another location.
I think the function or whatever responsibilities you have within your church, they change over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. Some may serve in one area of the church at one time and another area in the church at another time. Absolutely. Right? That's even built into our church constitution, right? The position of elder and deacon has a year of sabbatical, a year of rotation where you rotate off, right? What about secondary callings that don't change?
Aptitudes?
Yeah.
You know, some people are very good at organizing things. Other people are very good at mathematics. Other people are very good at right brain music. Those are things that don't necessarily change throughout your life, but how you use them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you may be inherently skilled in certain areas that may carry with you throughout your entire life, and how you apply those might change. Yeah. Being a spouse, if you're married, that is a calling that God has for you, that He, you know, is likely to call for the period of your life or your spouse's life. Think the calling to be a church member, right? Your calling for someone in your household to have employment, to be able to feed and provide needs for your family. These are some that would not change. So, considering those secondary callings as you're trying to balance, think of which ones change or may not change. Maybe you're facing difficulty in a particular secondary calling because God wants you to change it. If there's a job that's frustrating, maybe God is calling you to other work. Let's think about some of the responsibilities in each of these secondary, in some of those unchanging secondary callings. Let's think about the church. Can someone read 1 Corinthians 19 through 20?
If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
Thank you. So every Christian has a secondary calling in the church, though it will look differently, right? There are many parts to one body. So as John said, our exactly what we're doing in the church may change, but our calling to be in the church does not. Let's consider responsibilities in the workplace. Someone read 1 Thessalonians 10. 1 Thessalonians. 1 second. It is 5, 10 through, yes.
Can we read that?
Is that?
No. Is that the right one?
That can't be it.
I think so.
Maybe 4. Well, we heard you cross it through this one more to aspire. That's a, that's one where 10 breaks into 2 parts. What is the sentence that ends in the middle of it?
Yes, it is 4. Okay. Thank you guys for bearing with me on that.
But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one.
All right, so right in our workplace, the floor of faithfulness in the office is ultimately to pay your bills. There's big opportunity outside of that, but it starts with paying your bills, right? He says here, aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, right? This is not saying that's all you need to do. Don't talk to other people. Don't evangelize. Don't form relationships. Don't seek other people's good. But the primary calling for our work is to be able to provide for our families. And then finally, marriage as a secondary responsibility. Why was marriage created? Give me a helper. Yeah, can someone read Genesis 2:18?
Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him."
All right, so yes, helper, right? Help in marriage. So another way to put this is that Adam couldn't accomplish his secondary callings by himself. He was called to nurture and protect the garden, and to do that he needed Eve as a helper fit for him. That's not something that she does some of the time. That's who she is. And what that means is that marriage is a calling that undergirds our other callings. If you're a wife, marriage is the lens through which you see all your callings. In every calling, you are your husband's helper. If you are a husband, marriage is something that should apply to all of your callings. In every calling, you are incomplete without your wife as a helper. So, is that help universally defined? What that help looks like, universally defined? No, right? Or else we'd all be zookeepers, according to what happens here in Genesis 2, right? No, think of John's example about conversation that a husband and wife should have about what their work looks like, what their life together looks like, that he mentioned last week. That is extremely important, right? It's that help is not just, oh, dinner's on the table when the man gets home from work. For your situation, it might work out that way, but that belongs in a conversation. That's not universally mandated. There are any number of circumstances that we can come across that we can pick up right now.
He can't sustain another bruise.
So we got this curriculum from the Capitol Hill Baptist Church core seminar, and they have a core seminar on marriage that describes marriage like this. Marriage is not just one area of life to be balanced with others. Marriage is the context in which you live all of life. You approach work, church, as a married person. It's not the same to say you approach marriage as a lawyer. Married people do not balance career with marriage, but to approach career as a married person. Questions, thought about that, or our secondary callings? So how might we, you know, go back to those original scenarios of a work responsibility, a family responsibility, a church responsibility all on the same night? How might we use these strategies to figure out how to balance those potential opportunities of effort in a given day?
Leverage your partner.
Leverage your partner. There you go. Right? Yeah. Yeah, right? We can often think that, oh, we're doing this alone. We just got to put our head down and figure it out. No, like, what are some ways that we could leverage our partner in that?
Well, you know, if you've got the soccer practice and you've got the church thing, one of you could do one and one of you could do the other.
There you go, right? Yeah, you could, if my wife is, you know, asking me to take our daughter to some responsibility, then maybe that frees her up to be able to go to church and be encouraged by God's work in the church and the questioning of a new prospective elder. Yeah, absolutely.
I also think prayer.
Prayer, yeah.
You need to take it to the Lord and request His help and ask Him specifically what He wants you to do in given situations, because oftentimes we don't know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, especially as you consider multiple things, that reliance on prayer. You know, God may have given you those three things so that in this instance you would be like, oh, it's a good idea to pray, and you would see, you know, the fruit of comfort and peace, even if you have to drop one of those balls of responsibility. Yeah, absolutely.
I think just too, like, it's the importance of, like, doing all of this in a church setting is, like, that it's not just, like, you figuring it out or just you and your spouse. I'm just thinking, like, you know, I'm working full-time and I have Emery at home for another week, and Kara's been taking her, you know, for part of the day, or a large part of the day on Fridays, you know, so it's like balancing that, like, often requires other people helping, and so telling people if you need help or talking to other people about your situation, so it's not just you trying to figure things out, but getting input and insight from others, especially in the church, I think can be helpful, and then other people in the church, you know, help and serve, and like, we do a lot of this together. So it's not just trying to figure it out on your own or just within your, like, family.
Yeah.
It's like you have this larger church family. That's why it's so important to kind of, balance, but also, like, be open and talk about, like, hey, this is, you know, what we're doing, and have people hold you accountable. If you have to miss church, admit it's a lot, you know, make sure it's just for a season and things like that. So just the importance of doing it in church community.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and that,
like in the example that you gave, right? If there's an event going on at church and they're questioning a potential elder, if you have questions, maybe you provide those questions to somebody else and they ask them for you, and then you get feedback, you know.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to be there for that.
Right.
You can focus on the other things.
Right. And that's almost like thinking out of the box, right? Because we think of these responsibilities, and we can think, oh, I've got these responsibilities, I have to do these things. But again, sometimes God works in not those boxes that we've put everything in, right? And so opening ourselves up to, hey, I need help, or hey, I've got questions for our other fellow church members, it really opens up some of those cross synergies across all areas of our lives to grow and be sanctified in. That's good. All right, so let's think of some application here, how we can apply these. First one is learn to say no. Why is it important to learn to say no? That's, for many of us, that might have been the first word that we learned how to say. How did we forget it from there to here, right? What happens if we don't say no?
We're out of God's will.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, certainly. We say yes to sin. We are, yeah.
Or you just take too much on.
Take too much on. Yeah. Something that I know I've heard from you, Rena, and maybe a Lisa Lockwood said it before. But if you take too much on, you might be not allowing other people to get opportunities to serve in a certain area, right? And that's important for other people to have opportunities, even if, you know, if you thought from a purely efficiency standpoint, oh, well, I'm going to knock this out in an hour, and it's going to take that person all day. Yeah, but that's an opportunity for them to grow, or for maybe some mentoring to happen there. So, it's important to say no for your own, you know, sanity, but also for the sake of allowing others to grow in areas.
And just recognize our own limitations. Like, we're finite people.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do everything. We're not God.
That's right. Yeah. God doesn't have to say no due to ability, right? But we do. Take things day by day, but evaluate periodically. Take things day by day, but evaluate periodically. I consider James 4, 13 and 14. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. So don't strive to be so efficient in your planning and balance of secondary callings that you don't have time for detour God orchestrates for us. Right? Think about your callings on a large scale as well. So allow time for to not be so tightly wound that you are unable to help someone in need when it comes up. But also consider large scale too. In the workplace, we often have, you know, annual performance reviews. Talk with a trusted brother or sister about God's callings in your life. God works in the big and in the small, right? Let us pursue his righteousness and kingdom in both the day-to-day, but also in our larger efforts. Third application, look for synergies between your callings. In some of your callings, you may have flexibility where to work, where to live. Consider how those come together, can work together to support your other callings, right? Are you able to work near the church building? Does that open up other opportunities for you? Are you able to live near church? Does that open up other opportunities? Consider how those can be mutually beneficial. And finally, keep your eye on long-term faithfulness. Keep your eye on long-term faithfulness. Right? Jesus might come back tomorrow. Pray to God that that would happen. But most likely, your life is a marathon and not a sprint. Balance isn't just something you wake up and discover one day. An ability to be faithful in multiple callings is generally something that was built slowly and carefully over time. The career that allows someone to spend the time they need with his church and family. The wisdom that fuels a healthy marriage. The skill in discipling the church and the family. All these are built with time. Be patient, have your eye on faithfulness in all your callings, and pray that God would give you the ability you need to be faithful. So, there you have it. Christians are not balanced people when it comes to that primary calling. We are to be completely sold out for Jesus, and that means doing everything we possibly can to maximize the eternal value of each of the callings that he has given us. Other questions or comments?
It's hard.
It is hard.
It takes a lot of time, especially church-related callings. You have to develop relationships with people over time. Yeah,
church is inherently a gathering of all kinds of people. And so you might not, you know, click with somebody the first time you meet them in church. And so, yeah, the call to love and serve them may definitely take time. Good. All right, well, let's pray one final time. God, we thank you for and praise you for your wisdom and your provision. God, help our primary pursuit in life to be your kingdom and your righteousness. God, help us to do that with all of our beings and all that we do. Let us not put anything ahead of that pursuit. But we pray that you would help us to balance our secondary callings, to be faithful in those, and to bring you glory in those callings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.